Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Today we celebrate the Feast of St. Dominic, and this is a day to honor all the priests and brothers and sisters who are of the order, various orders of St. Dominic. What a saint, and I wish I had time to talk about him today, but the readings are drawing me to share some other things with you this morning. But let's ask St. Dominic to pray for us that we may be like him, a seeker of the truth, a lover of God. Ask all the saints to help you in that area. Let's take a look at the first reading from the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 31, verses 1 to 7. At that time, says the Lord, I will be the God of all the tribes of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus says the Lord, the people that escaped the sword have found favor in the desert. As Israel comes forward to be given his rest, the Lord appears to him from afar. With age-old love, I have loved you, so I have kept my mercy toward you. He's speaking here to Israel. They betrayed him. But what does he say? With age-old love, I have loved you, so I have kept my mercy toward you. You can take that for yourself personally. So I have kept my mercy toward you. Again, I will restore you, and you shall be rebuilt, O Virgin Israel. Carrying your festive tambourines, you shall go forth dancing with the merrymakers. Again, you shall plant vineyards on the mountains of Samaria. Those who plant them shall enjoy the fruits. Yes, a day will come when the watchman will call out on Mount Ephraim, rise up, let us go to Zion, to the Lord our God. May those words be on the lips of everyone who is dying today from this world and entering the glorious kingdom, there to be judged and hopefully to be received into the glorious kingdom, the kingdom that has no end, the kingdom that is full of mercy. With age-old love, I have loved you, so I have kept my mercy toward you. Again, I will restore you, and you shall be rebuilt, O Virgin Israel. Carrying your festive tambourines, you shall go forth dancing with the merrymakers. Again, you shall plant vineyards on the mountains of Samaria, and those who plant them shall enjoy the fruits. Yes, a day will come when the watchman will call out on Mount Ephraim, rise up, let us go to Zion, to the Lord our God. May we do that for one another. Let us rise up. Let us go to Zion. Let us follow the Lord. Let us be more fully disciples of Jesus Christ. Let us be more fully sons and daughters of the Father. Let it be clear the one to whom we belong. Let us rise up. Those are my words, but they come out of the spirit of this reading. For thus says the Lord, shout with joy for Jacob, exult at the head of the nations. Proclaim your praise and say, the Lord has delivered his people, the remnant of Israel. So does he deliver us, brothers and sisters, through his mercy. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavily burdened by sin, by guilt, by remorse, by despair. Come to me. All you who labor and are heavily burdened, and I will give you rest. It's the call of God to us. The responsorial psalm says, the Lord will guard us as a shepherd guards his flock. And oh my goodness, if you read the accounts of shepherds and you see how carefully they watch over their flocks, night and day, the Lord will guard us as a shepherd guards his flock. And we take a look now at the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15, verses 21 to 28. At that time, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman of that district came and called out, have pity on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon. But he did not say a word in answer to her. his disciples came and asked him, "Send her away, for she keeps calling out after us." And he said in reply, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But this Canaanite woman, obviously a pagan, but the woman came and did him homage. She's had these insults flung at her. Her daughter is possessed by a demon. She's frightened. She comes to him. And what are the disciples saying? "Get rid of her, for she keeps calling out to us." And even Jesus says, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I'm not sent to help you." But the woman came and did him homage. She didn't let anything hold her back. "Lord, help me." And he said in reply, "It is not right to take the food of the children and throw it to the dogs." He's testing her, because that's what people would say in that time toward those people. "It is not right to take the food of children and throw it to the dogs." And she said, "Please, Lord, for even the dogs eat the scraps that fall from the table of their masters." She will not be dissuaded even when insult is thrown at her. He's testing her. How many times are we tested and we fail? And then Jesus said to her in reply, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed from that hour. The Lord tested her. Sometimes the Lord tests us and we fail. Too much, too big. But look at this woman. She just had one desire, that her daughter be healed, and she would endure anything for that to happen. Jesus was testing her because he knew that in there was a reality, that even though she was a pagan, in there was something alive, and he wanted to bring it to birth and foster it. How many times, brothers and sisters, do we make decisions about people by appearance when we don't know the heart? Merikakis, whom I have not referred to recently, but he's written numerous volumes entitled Fire of Mercy, Heart of the Word, available from Ignatius Press. And he recounts here, the volumes are big, but his studies are worth pursuing, especially if you're a new listener and you aren't familiar with him. You want to take a look at the last name is Merikakis. He goes by Father Simon. He had a secular name first, but his last name, Merikakis. I could say a lot more, but I don't want to take our time here. I'll do it in a future program to say something more about him. But he writes here, at the very moment that Jesus is exiting northward from Galilee, perhaps fleeing the aggression of the Pharisees, a nameless woman is leaving her home territory of Tyre and Sidon to go in a southerly direction. The only thing we know about her is that she is a Canaanite, therefore a non-Jew, a goy, a pagan. The identical verbal form is used in Greek, first in the masculine and then in the feminine, to indicate the reciprocal movement of Jesus and the woman toward one another. In order for their eventual meeting to take place, they each have first to leave their native region behind. That's important to keep in mind. Each of them is not in his native area. And then he says this. Merikakis, Father Simon, says this. What is it that draws Jesus and the woman toward one another? What motivation makes their paths cross? In a moment, we will hear Jesus sum up his earthly mission by saying that he has been sent out in search of lost sheep. This is a simple but highly evocative phrase that contains, in a nutshell, rich references to the fallenness of mankind through sin, to the Father's design of salvation, and to his sending his Son as Good Shepherd to accomplish that salvation by retrieving the wayward sheep of his pasture. How many wayward sheep are around you? Are you praying for them? Are you reaching out to them? asking God, how do you want to use me? Or do you want to use me in this situation? In Christ, by the power of Christ, God uses us to bring back the strayed and the lost. Merakakis continues, Jesus withdraws from the land of Israel, the one region on earth that has been made sacred by God's election of the Jews and by their faithful worshiping presence there. His withdrawal consequently symbolizes in this context the eternal words going forth from the heavenly house of the Father into the alien regions where sin rules unhampered. How hard it must have been for Christ to come among us sinners. But he so loved us that his love overcame everything. He was obedient to his Father. So he came for this woman. Pharisees don't want anything. Don't touch her. Don't be around her. Everybody rejects her. But it says here, at the same time, the Canaanite woman has left behind a district that symbolizes utter God-forsakenness. And she comes out of it screaming for mercy at the top of her lungs. Her daughter's been possessed by a demon. And she begs for help. Thus, ardent Savior and wretched creature are well on their way toward one another, each from his and her own antithetical native place. In other words, they're in total opposition to one another. He from the Father's bosom and she from idolatrous existence. They worshiped idols, antithetical to one another. Yet each one's deepest yearning, his to save and hers to be saved, makes them fully connatural. No power on earth can thwart this encounter. That's what Jesus does for us all the time. He searches us out. He comes into our territory. He who is all holy, all pure, all good, sinless, in one level would be repelled by us. But his love for us is so great, and he is so obedient in love to his Father that he comes toward that which he hates, the sin, not the sinner, but the climate of sin. We don't realize how much we're living in a climate of sin and the effect that it has on us. But Jesus sees it clearly. And as he came to rescue this woman, so he comes to rescue each one of us. He comes to call us out of darkness into light. He comes to call us out of sin into virtue. He comes to call us out of evil into holiness. He honestly does, brothers and sisters. This passage is worth pondering again and again, and ask the Lord, how am I living among a sinful generation? How affected am I by it? And am I, as your disciple, really willing to reach out to those lost sheep and bring them to you? They're important questions, brothers and sisters. Take some time with the Lord. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I want to offer you a new free booklet entitled Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. That booklet is available to you simply by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or go to our website, renewalministries.net.